If it is dead and detached.
Right.
Yes. Specifically. Casual items. Like khakis. If there's a pair of khakis anywhere in your lie, you can move that.
Correct.
But blue jeans. Blue jeans got to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Goob, like, there you go, Goob. You got it.
Damn it. It took me a second to get it. Once I got it, I was like, damn it, Jason's right again. And welcome into season 5, Unstable Discourse, baby.
Let's go, son.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Cinco.
Can you believe that we are starting this now for the fifth? The fifth time?
Crazy.
Fifth?
Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I plead the fifth.
I plead the fifth.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anything you say, fifth. Go ahead, ask me a question.
Did you?
I can believe it. We've had enough of these landmarks now that, like, each time we pass a new landmark, it's getting less cool. It's just like, yeah, we pass landmarks all the time, dog. That's all we do.
Yeah, yeah, we good, dog.
This season is going to have some other cool landmarks. We're doing some cool new things.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to tell you guys about that. Some things never change, though. I've already touched the mic. Ryan didn't see it, therefore I did not get scolded.
He put some preemptive touches in. Just to get them out of the way before we actually record
it. Get a few out of the way.
Yeah.
Whether you're listening for the first time or you've been with us the whole time, thanks for being here.
Nobody's been here the whole time.
God, I hope not. Oof.
I just was talking to, I just talked to a couple guys at the shop who said, oh, I just started listening and I just got through season one and can't wait to hear what season two sounds like. And I'm like, if you liked season one,
it only gets better from there.
Anyways, we are back at the cab, Callahan Acres basement. It's your boy, Alex Seminary from Tailwind Media. Along with Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yes, sir.
Sean Callahan of Delwood Disc Golf.
Good evening.
Jason Callahan of Bag of Tricks.
Glad to be here.
We're also joined by our special guest of the very first guest of the season, Mike Apostolou of Behind the Table at GJTS Tournaments.
And also of Not My Brother.
Hello.
Sorry to disappoint David Cope. You guys are not brothers. But I see what Jason was saying. There is enough of a physical look and a vibe look that you guys could be related.
It's still racist.
Yeah, I don't know.
What, is it because I'm white?
Yeah.
Oh.
Pause. Who's whiter, Mike or Ryan?
I'm pretty white. I'm pretty white.
How excited were you for that plain cheese pizza when I brought it in?
Extremely happy.
Can I just, I'm not going to go through all of them. But
No.
He's never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
He's also never been to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You're not white.
He's also never been sledding.
Whoa.
Plays a lot of Final Fantasy, which is the reason why I would say, final answer, Mike is more white than me.
You can't be more white than anybody if you've never been to Wisconsin or eaten a PB&J. That's something else.
Yeah, but it's like negative white. It's like more white than everyone else.
Negative? What is that?
Yeah. Mike is clear, Ryan.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, clear. Yeah, Mike is clear.
Yeah. There we go. There's a lot of cool stuff we're going to talk to you guys about today. But
this house is clear.
I have exorcised the demons.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Before we tell you all the things that's going to happen on this episode, I'll also let you know that Sheila the Deucer's in the house.
Yeah.
And
she hates it every time.
MF, Mike Ferreira is joining us as well. He's kind of hanging out today.
What up, dog? What up, dog? What up, dog?
Him from episode 15 or 16 from last season?
One of those two.
The founder of Discovery Disc Golf Club. So we got good vibes in here. What is new for this season, guys? Let's tell people what to expect from this episode.
Well, do we want to talk about the thing we're going to talk about later? Like right now? Do we want to ruin that surprise?
Ooh. Yeah, I like... No. Why do they have to be surprised later in the episode?
Yeah, they don't have to
They're listening for the first time in a long time. It's a surprise. Let's tell them right now.
Well, let's hit them with it and then not explain it until later.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Jay, you were the seed of this, so you tell the story.
It started...
I planted
my seed.
We touched tips.
Deep. You planted it deep.
It started with a conversation that I called... you called me because you had posted something and you weren't sure if the audio was playing.
That's right.
And you were like, hey, I saw you just liked it on Facebook. Did the audio play okay? And I was like, yeah, it did. And then I was like, I have this idea for an episode. And I explained the premise. And we were like dancing around the concept. We might get to it, actually. I think we're going to still do my idea somewhere in the middle of the season. I think we're going to have a fun thing that we do.
You have had a fun idea or two in your day.
I got a thing lined up. But from there, you had me on speakerphone.
Yep.
And between the two of us and Sheila, we came up with the idea of what if we did our own fantasy disc golf league within just us, right?
Mm-hmm. The UDU, if you will.
The UDU.
Well, that's a thing now. That's so a thing. You're welcome.
Yep. That's where Jaylene exists.
That's right.
That's right. Only within the UDU. So what we've come up with is the five of us, Deucer included, have prechess.com come up with our team that we are going to follow their tournaments through the rest of season 5 of Unstable Discourse. And we're going to get points according to how our players on our team play throughout the season.
We will explain how this league is going to work and what's cool about it, but just know that once Ryan got his hands on this, he came up with all kinds of rules and structure.
Where we're going to get into later.
Cool. I was not interested because fantasy leagues don't interest me in the least because I think they dilute sports for me. I stop watching the sports to enjoy them and start looking at stats. I hope this player from X does this so I can get points, and that doesn't make sense to me. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I like looking at stats for the teams I'm rooting for, and like because I love analyzing that, but not for getting arbitrary make-believe points. But the moment we said, okay, we can do a fantasy league and we can make it whatever we want, then I was like, oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We'll tell you guys how it's going to work later. There's some pretty cool segments that are going to come along just from this concept alone. But the other thing that we're here to talk about today is the new rules that the PDGA came out with for this season. We think Mike is a really good guest for that topic.
Maybe.
You know your rules.
Maybe.
So we got that.
Super white thing to do, though.
It is.
Yeah. For sure.
Knowing the rules.
Oh, yeah.
That's racist.
White bread.
Aside from those things, we got our standard fired up. Cal Hallander rundown. We got, it's not the meat and potatoes. It's not the nuts and butts.
Yeah, oh my God.
What is it?
What is it?
We're going to figure that out tonight.
We have like 18 minutes to figure that out.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
All right, we'll see what happens. On break.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And then we got some questions in the mailbag from some of our more proactive and dedicated lovely listeners. Thank you all for that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Everyone else, you're dead to me. Let's keep going. Let's start with Fire It Up.
Let's do it. That usually starts with me making a noise right now, doesn't it?
It does.
Fire It Up!
All right.
Let her rip.
That's some good energy.
You are notoriously 12 to 18 inches from the microphone until you want to scream.
Yeah.
And then you get right up its butthole.
And then it's in your ears real loud.
Yeah. Sorry. Which is that. The opposite of what you should do.
I love That's you. Right. Yeah. I love you.
Sound like you know a little bit about audio.
It's funny.
Ryan.
It's funny to me.
Ryan, what are you fired up about?
Obviously, I can't not say I'm fired up for baseball because I just listened to a Cactus League game today.
Cool.
Which is awesome. But I say that every season.
Mm, it's true.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'm stoked for baseball.
Cool. Next, Sean.
Yeah.
Got him.
But that's it. Like, the season is starting. I think we've tweaked things in the tournaments that we're going to run during the season that I think are going to make things a little bit more seamless, a little bit more fun, a little bit more, I guess I should say, a little bit less taxing and a little bit less stressful for us. So I'm excited to see how that turns out, but I don't have anything specifically. We did get a taste of 71 degrees.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
A taste.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me more fired up than I thought it would. Mm. Like, we played around at Delwood with Dane of Ichi.
That's his name.
And Ryan Stilson. And then the moment I got home, I went and had to dig out my bin of shorts that I had put away.
Yeah.
And I got some shorts and went outside. And
it's shorts only now until November.
I wish it was. I mean, yeah. Then it was like a low of 9. It felt like 9 the next day. Yeah. 9 degrees.
Yeah. Yesterday was cold as shit.
But it's coming. So everything spring is happening, and that's all I got.
Cool. I'm going to take this moment to pour some M&Ms out on the table because it's going to be noisy. And you can edit this right out.
Get them out. And pass that bag. I'll go next.
Now that you said I need to edit it out, I will definitely not.
Yeah, yes. Staying in.
You love to do the opposite of what people expect.
Always.
Don't tell me what to do.
I am also with Ryan in that the new season feel is definitely upon us. The shifting and going from what we have been referring to as league season now is ending and tournament season is beginning. That is a little small portion of my fired up. Second thing I'm fired up about today is the fact that we have been doing, and we just watched a rendition of one of those videos, what we are calling the Canyons Log. These videos with myself and Big Cat Ryan Stilson, we have a rotating cast of people that are going to be joining us, and we're going to do that weekly, put together a little highlight video. It's something that is going to create some really fun, goofy content for us, but more importantly, like getting me out golfing, mm-hmm. getting me hanging out with Kat,
your peak.
Getting just hanging out with that rotating cast mm-hmm. of people that I'm hoping are the people that for years have been like, yeah, dude, we'll get around together. Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. And mm-hmm. we just haven't, because it's very difficult to do that
yeah.
when it's not a front burner. So I'm really stoked for that. And scheduling that, like how we've been scheduling the podcast, where it's like, okay, weeks out, you know, like next week, I know we're playing with Nick Behrens and Papa Behrens, you know, yeah, Mr. B. So Damn having it. That laid out for a couple of weeks, that's dope. It's going to be really fun to look forward to that. I'm fired up.
As soon as you said father and son playing disc golf, I was trying to find the Cat Stevens joke, but yeah. Jason, what are you fired
Big
up
Cat
about?
Stevens?
Oh.
Ooh. Is that it?
There you go.
Can we get there?
All right. That works.
There is a new podcast that I am fired up about.
If you tell me it's the greatest podcast of all time.
It may be the greatest podcast of all time.
Try again.
We'll see. We'll see.
Have you listened to this one?
It may be the second greatest podcast.
Oh, there you go. There we go.
As I've spoken about at length in the past, my favorite podcast besides UD is 60 Songs That Explain the 90s. And it is mm-hmm. unfortunately coming to a close. I believe it will be gone or ended as of this episode dropping. His last episode is the next one. That'll be.
Are you kidding me?
Next week, yeah, yeah. This week's was 119.
There's no way. Stop. It's too good. It'll come back.
He's not done as a podcaster.
Sure,
but what he created
is. Makes sense.
Podcaster.
So in the spirit of 60 Songs That Explain the 90s. I am obsessed with a podcast that only has one episode out right now, but I think their future is bright, and it is called How to Make a Mixtape. It is Senor Donnie Longton's podcast that he is making with a buddy of his, and their first episode was phenomenal.
When you said the title, I was like, oh my God, somebody stole his idea. Because he's been telling me about this for a year or more.
They did an episode.
How?
Did he tell you?
Oh yeah, he keeps telling me.
I'm the last friend to find out. I love that. Thanks, Donnie.
He keeps telling me that he's going to do it, and then he just hasn't. And Donnie, he's rotating hobbies.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So this is the next hobby.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that he hadn't, but as soon as you said how to make a mixtape, I was like, oh, somebody got it before he did.
So if you're listening to my voice right now and you care about music at all, when this episode is finished, use your app, find How to Make a Mixtape, and listen to their first episode. It is so good. And the premise is so simple.
Yeah, it's
and his buddy Roderick, and they will pick a theme and create a playlist where they go back and forth and create a mixtape based off that theme. And it's totally in the spirit of 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, because Donnie is the one that told me about that. And if I'm not mistaken, his buddy Roderick is the one that told Donnie about it. Mm. So he forwarded me the link to the first episode, and I listened, and I was like, dude, this is phenomenal. My brain is reeling right now. There are so many things that you could do with this. And he's like, great. When are we scheduling your episode?
I was like, let's go.
If you find a way to weasel yourself out of another podcast.
Oh, you bet your ass. That is my thing that I'm going to do in my 40s, is I'm going to weasel my ass onto as many podcasts as
possible. Do you think we could finally offload him?
There's a chance. Or at least I'll do two podcasts a week now. Yeah,
there you go. Are they doing it weekly?
I have yet to get in those details with him. And I'm not going to join it. I'm just going to be there
as a guest
for an episode, because going forward after the pilot, that is the premise, is there will be three people who are dropping ideas for the theme.
So good.
And, I already came up with my theme that I want for my episode. And I already have a list of 45 songs that I need to dwindle down to like four or five. And it's going to be the most painstaking process of anything I've ever done in my life, but I'm super excited to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wait. For the future of his podcast. It's so good.
I'm so glad he's doing that.
Have you checked what their policy is on just references to like bottle things that come out of your body? Farts, etc.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, Donnie's known me for 20 years. So the fact that he extended that, he knows what he's getting into by inviting me on. Yeah.
Good. So that can be your new outlet for all of that.
Sure.
Because we're cleaning things up on UD. This is going to be a family-friendly show.
Season five is more family-friendly.
Yeah. Show me that smile.
Show me that smile.
Micah Posolu, what are you fired up about?
Oh, good transition.
Wow. I'm going to use the cop-out and just say I'm excited for the season like everyone else.
Woof.
Yeah, I know.
That's what we all say, but it's still but
such
it
a
is
white dude answer. Very,
yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, I mean, it's. I'm
guys, his mic's not on. Don't worry about it.
I am looking forward to seeing everyone, looking forward to being behind a table and hopefully maybe play some too. That'd be cool. So,
yeah.
See, playing MA2 this year.
You're a Let's big U-Disc person, right?
I use it.
You're not like keeping track of your own stats and stuff like that?
I mean, when I play solo, which is majority of my rounds, I'll keep track of it, yeah.
I got to talk to you about that at some point because I never have taken advantage of any of those tools on there. Okay, if that's all you're fired up about, then I'll keep it moving.
Yeah, we're good.
Ryan loves that. He's trying to keep us on a time budget this season.
Time budget.
Time budget.
Ryan, is there anything you'd like to ask me?
No, we're good. Cal Hallander?
Yeah, Cal Hallander, right? Moving on.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
Are you fired up at all?
Keep it down, please. Yeah, I'm fired up about a couple of things. I'll make them real short, though. One, Tailwind Media has been working on a really, really cool project. I've been shooting a lot of stuff out of Delwood and different disc golf events around the area, and I'm getting very close to sharing some of what I've been shooting with everybody, and I'm a little turned on about sharing it with everybody.
I can see that.
I cannot wait to start dropping stuff.
Turned on and shooting? Go on.
Yes. And then the other thing for Tailwind is a friend of mine who works at a nonprofit organization, which, as you all know, that's what I want to be doing, is telling stories of small businesses and nonprofits, things that I think make the world nicer. That organization, I just signed a contract with them within last week, for a substantial little chunk of money that's much more than I've ever earned filming anything. So we have a really big project that is on the docket for this year, and it feels like maybe a possible tipping point for me going in the direction that I really want to be going career-wise. Super stoked. For all things camera related.
Super what?
I think I said X-stoked.
X-stoked. Yeah. That's a new one that we can use.
Yeah.
I like X-stoked. It.
For yeah. sure.
That doesn't roll off the tongue
like
at all.
Like you were stoked. I'm X-stoked.
Yeah, I'm excited and stoked.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Excited to be stoked.
Yeah.
Excited
to be reminds stoked. Me of when Jack Donaghy says, "Ineventually," is eventual innovation.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jack Donaghy and 30 Rock, this is Leap Day today on the day we're recording, which as any 30 Rock fan knows, you're supposed to wear blue and yellow in honor of Leap Day William. I'm the only person here who followed the rules today.
Yeah, for sure.
So I technically nothing. Get to poke everybody in the eye, but we'll do that later.
Yeah, later on.
I'll just outrun you. It's okay.
I don't like what you're implying, that you no, could definitely outrun me.
Well, not that, but I'm just squirrely.
Let's have a foot race.
You're nimble, dog. I've seen you move. You move quick.
I have, for many years, prided myself on being the most athletic fat person. That's important.
I'll give you that.
Get me on a trampoline. Watch what happens.
Deal.
The other thing, and it's so much bigger than the other thing I'm excited about, is Liz and I just finished up another round of IVF, and we have 3 brand new healthy embryos stored away. Mm. So now we have a total of 4 embryos, which could eventually become babies one day. So
nice.
There's a little frozen little Schmitties somewhere in a test tube right now.
Can we name them real quick? Can we give the 4 embryos names?
Oh, yeah, I'm down for that.
Okay. Sean, you pick which one of them be named.
There's 4 names right here.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Just how do you pronounce Alex backwards? Because he's going to think that I practiced it for a long time.
Just give me one great disc golf name that would work for... It doesn't matter, boy or girl. What's one of
first
the coolest
name,
names in disc golf?
First name, Ricky Wysocki.
That's the first name.
Yeah.
Ricky Wysocki McBeth Seminary.
And I think it. I could sell Liz on this.
Yeah, for sure. That's all we had to do.
You got it.
We didn't have to name all 4. Yeah. We just had to come up with the best name.
Yeah.
I know it's a lot, but that's all the stuff I'm fired up about right now. That means it's time for us to move things along to the Cal Hallander Rundown.
That's right, y'all. The Cal Hallander Rundown. This is the spring into 2024 edition. I try to make those funny. I hope you laugh at them.
I see what you did.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier in my fired up, league season is now over. We are moving into tournament season. We are all stoked for that.
Yeah.
I can't edit that out.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. By the time you guys hear this, the first GJTS event, the Dog Bowl, will be about to pop off. But don't fret, the second GJTS event, Fraction Run Cup 6, is going live tonight, because when this airs, it will be Friday, March 8th, and it goes live at 7 p.m. on discgolfscene.com. Come on, Pete. This is the first sanctioned event of the year and kicks off at Delhi. We will be running back the same upper and lower layouts, utilizing the holes where Fraction Run comes into play, just like years past. Any questions?
Didn't think so.
Moving on. GJTS-TDTC, your favorite team match play event, is coming back for its fourth year and will be on Sunday, May 5th. It is the year for Team Green. God damn it. Well, everybody else has won.
It will be Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps Team Green at all, but it feels like a green holiday.
Okay.
Does it?
Cinco de Mayo?
I don't care if I have to cheat. Yeah, Team Green is winning it. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Registration goes live on Friday, April 5th at 7 p.m. On.
I think of limes and margaritas.
There.
That's discgolfscene.com.
Yeah, go ahead.
Limes and margaritas. Mm-hmm. This is the third event on the Greater Joliet Tour season, with 5 points going to each player of the winning team. Up next is the 21st New Lenox Open. New year, new logo, new Lenox.
Oh,
fourth event on the Greater Joliet Tour
Finally,
season.
Finally, something funny.
Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Will be on May 25th and 26th and is an AM-only event. Utilizing a fun tee time block, shotgun start, proved to work like a well-oiled machine last year, so let's do it again. Event registration goes live on Friday, April 19th on discgolfscene.com. Come on, Pete. That is all I've got for you guys on this spring into 2024 edition of the Kelly Hallander Rundown. All of this unofficially brought to you by
discgolfscene.com.
Come on, Pete.
Yes.
Yeah. He got it.
Before we move all the way past the Kelly Hallander Rundown, I want to have our boy Mike Ferreira hop on and tell you about the league that he told us all about last season. Mike, you want to hop on and just give, let people know when is it happening and what it is.
So we are going to be kicking off the Discovery Club at Haynes Wayside in New Lenox. And we are going to be running it the first Monday, the last Friday, and also mixing in a travel day for a random weekend mix in there. So that way we can get other people who aren't able to go to New Lenox out and check out the club and see what we're working with and support a great cause. So looking forward to everybody being out there. We're looking for at least starting it off in April. So
the first Monday of April, was that right?
First Monday of April, last Friday of April. And we'll probably do like the one of the second or third weekend in it for a travel day. So
April 8th.
First Monday of
I'm
April.
Sorry, April 1st.
April 1st.
Yeah.
April 1st. So, are you even telling the truth, Mike, or is this all bullshit?
This
all
no, this is
April
is
not Fool.
No, but yeah, we're doing it April 1st. We're kicking it off. This isn't a joke. This is for real. So, I look forward to seeing everybody at New Lenox.
Plug your Facebook and your Instagram real quick. Let the people know where they can find more information.
You can find out more information at Discovery Disc Golf Club on Facebook. Also, we have a Instagram page that is Discovery DGCIL. Also, you can email me personally at discoveryclub91@gmail.com.
Love it.
Also, the cause that we are supporting is mental health recovery. So we're looking to aim at ending stigma towards mental health and also addiction and recovery as well.
Nicely cool. done, my yep. friend.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's good.
Mike loves to be put on the spot. All right. Thank you for that, Mr. Ferreira. And that is a wrap on the Cal Hallander Rundown. So usually that means time for us to take a little break. Let's do it.
We'll be right back
after these messages.
Hey, Disc Golf family, it's Andrew Weary with Redemption Disposal and Recycling. If you need a dumpster, we are your go-to local contact. Are you getting a new roof, remodeling your house, or doing some landscaping? Maybe you're just looking to get rid of the old junk to make room for your new hyzer racks and disc golf gear. Redemption Disposal standard size dumpsters are large enough for most jobs. The 15-yard dump trailers are on regular tires and hauled by standard pickup trucks, helping avoid any damage to surfaces, allowing for tight maneuvering, and the compact style helps minimize any inconvenience to homeowners. Our convenient and speedy service is unmatched, all at a competitive price. You can find us on Facebook at Redemption Disposal or email admin@redemptiondisposal.com. We look forward to helping you out with your future projects, but until then, we'll see you out on the course.
And we're back. Ooh, that was a good break. We just did something so fun. You guys will never know exactly what we were just doing, but it was awesome.
We did serious back of house organization.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that we're back, that means it is time for the gin and juice.
Nice. Ooh. 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 Ooh.
And the gin and juice for people who have never, this is your first time listening. This is what we're going to talk about, the main stuff, like the main topic of this episode. It has been, the segment has been called something different every season. In fact, in the first season, we had probably 20, we just kept changing the name of it every week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah. Now for season five, it is the gin and juice.
And this is where you have your mind on your money.
And your money, on your mind.
There you go.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And we love just this idea because Sean pointed out that Snoop Dogg has a new seltzer drink that is supposed to be available nationwide this spring called Gin and Juice.
Correct.
So hopefully.
Oh, I did see an ad for that.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
If we can find them, and listeners, if you can help us find these, yeah. We want them on this show.
We sure do.
The juice of the Gin and Juice today is the new rules from the PDGA. Mike, you're the expert here. How many rule changes are there this season from last season? Do you know?
More than two. I don't know the exact total.
Yeah.
Okay.
Less than 50, more than two.
Yeah, it's...
So more than two.
More than two.
Less than 10?
Depends. I mean, there's...
There are like little edits and addendums.
Yeah, there's some
like
that
changing
are like,
the wording.
Right, there's some that just add clarification. But then there's some that are...
Funny. Addendums?
There's some that are like, they're not like major ones, like the ones that we're going to get to... early
or they are major ones. You see what I did there?
Hey.
It's a PDGA
because
joke,
there
guys.
Are majors
because there's yeah. majors.
Sean's funny this season.
New for changed. This season.
Sean's finally
things
funny.
Have changed.
It could be the gin. Could be the juice.
Could be the juice. We'll never know.
So yeah, the PDGA makes little rule changes every year. Sometimes there's really controversial changes. I haven't heard any real controversy from this year's changes. Have you guys heard anything? Yeah. Like any? Is the internet kicking up a storm about any rules specifically?
I'm going to bring up the most obvious one that I think, I mean, it's split 50-50, and it's the everyone has to keep score now situation. Previous yep. to this year, you would have a scorekeeper, and it was kind of the Wild West of scorekeeping. People could switch off. People could keep score for the entire round. We tended to try and have two scorekeepers per card. Just to keep continuity, because the PDGA app is good enough that if there are discrepancies, it will tell you. It makes it very difficult to put a wrong score in, right? Once you finalize, you can still do it, but it's very difficult to do. But there are still the people that are like, I don't have my phone on me. Or, you know, they show up at the last minute and it's just easier.
My phone's at 8%.
Yeah. To default to, well, somebody else will keep score. Now everyone has to keep score.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean everyone has to do it digitally, does it?
Correct. No.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so you have the option of going paper or digital, but everyone has to do one or the other.
That's correct, uh-huh. Because which what happened at chess.com, the cell signal was not great in some of those spots, so you couldn't technically actually use digital scorekeeping. Mm. So there were old-fashioned write-them-down scorecards going on, but everybody has got to do that, which has been PGA's standard. Since God knows when,
yeah.
And nobody seems to have a problem with that. You know, sure. They're professionals that are making millions of dollars,
right.
And they're still writing their scores down with little tiny pencils.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal, guys. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are thinking that it is exclusively digital, and everybody's kind of, I think, up in arms instead of realizing, oh, it could just be paper.
So Jason Allen can't even disc golf anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
Yeah. I would say that as far as TD goes, for the first time in a long time, I mean, the last 2-3 years, I've printed out paper scorecards as a just-in-case scenario, but now I absolutely will have to have them for the people that are, my phone's at 8%. I don't have my phone, I leave it in the car, or like Jason Allen, who doesn't have a cell phone at all. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're going to have a lot more of those on hand. But honestly, I really don't think this is going to be too big of an issue.
No,
I really don't.
So is just-in-case, is that a local homie? I haven't heard you say his
name before. Yeah, you didn't know him?
No.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
MA3.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an MA3 guy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yep. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
How does he spell his last name?
K-A-Y-S-E.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but it's G-E-U, like G like Jeff.
Like people? Jeff. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin Case.
Like Beetlejuice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. How does it help you guys as TDs to having the score change? Is this, you
know, it doesn't.
Aside from the player experience, well, what does it mean for you behind the behind
to,
the table?
To clarify what the PDGA says, as and this is their exact wording here, it says this ensures even distribution of scoring duties and maximizes scoring integrity. It also limits scoring penalties to the player who submitted the incorrect scorecard. Because so that way someone doesn't get screwed over saying, oh, this guy didn't add up the score right and I got stroked for it.
That's the other
That's
thing.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, because we had that happen a few times last year. Somebody will walk to their car before the scorecard is finalized and not see the scores.
Got it.
And then they come back and say, I got penalized, or my score on hole 12 should have been a 3 and it was marked down as a 4. And it's like, you weren't keeping score, A, and B, you didn't look and, you know, approved before it was finalized. And so now if everyone's keeping that score, there is none of that. And you cannot be penalized for someone else messing up your score.
Uh-huh.
Only you can do that. So that's good. I really don't enjoy penalizing anyone, you know, and we try to make that as clear as possible and not be a situation whenever possible. But this eliminates all of that.
I heard Brian Earhart in that interview that you shared with us, Sheila, saying that he knows other pro players who have lost events because somebody kept their score wrong and they got stroked at the end and literally had money taken out of their pocket because somebody else made a scoring mistake.
Sure.
Wow.
Now you can only, this can only affect you if your score was wrong on your card.
Right.
So if I turn in a card for all of us and I got your score wrong, you're fine. And so is everybody else. But mm-hmm. if my score is wrong on my card, I get penalized. That Correct. Just makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick it back to Mike real quick. Does it say anything about, and this is, I'm attempting to prevent a gray area thing. Does it say anything about us having to check paper scorecards?
So down here in, like, they've got the different subsections. So 808 subsection F, all players responsible for reconciling and submitting their copy of the scorecard within 30 minutes of the group of their group finishes the round. A player who has not submitted their scorecard on time receives 2 penalty throws. If a player submits a scorecard where their total score or whole scores are incorrect, improperly recorded, or missing, 2 penalty throws are added to the correct total score. The other thing, the last thing here says a player is not penalized if another member of the group submits an incorrect scorecard. So it doesn't really say anything about TDs or...
It does say submitting a scorecard.
Right.
So whether you do it digitally or not, we're going to have to count paper scorecards.
Well, what's strange is like, okay, so people have been submitting digital scorecards for 3 years now.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not checking them.
They're checking them.
Right. So
supposedly,
so when they submit their paper scorecard, do I have to check it? Am I checking their score to try and find a mistake? That'd be the only reason why I'd be looking at it.
Exactly. And it is a little ridiculous now that you might have to do that.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. I'm not doing it when it's digital, but I have to do it when it's paper.
I think it is just a checks and balances situation where we don't have to count everything and check it against the other scores. Unless there is a discrepancy, unless Justin comes over and says, hey man, I submitted a digital scorecard and it was a 55, but this guy, my card mate, had a paper scorecard mm-hmm. and he had me down for a 56. Then we keep them, the paper scorecards, and then mm-hmm. we refer back to them and make sure that those are.
Yeah,
makes sense.
But if all four of them are keeping scores and they all look at them at the end and say,
everything's good.
That's what I ain't
checking. I ain't checking shit.
That's the point.
I'm not checking those paper scorecards.
Right. Exactly. I think that's what that's
for. That was the conversation I had with Schlitter about this a couple weeks ago when these rules came to be. And we were looking at each other like, yeah, man, we've gotten in the groove of not having to do these things.
Right. Sure.
It seems backwards to have to, like, these thoughts of checking paper cards.
Yeah, I don't think we're looking for mistakes at this point and reasons to penalize people. I just think we're going to keep those
as a
fallback.
Is this rule about everybody keeping score at all PDGA events, or is it just majors?
All PDGA events.
All sanctioned
PDGA events. All PDGA events inside the United States and Canada, to be specific.
Canadians are in on this too?
Yeah. Oh, what a
joke. They're probably the ones that came up with it.
It says this change is highly recommended, but not yet required for the international program guide. So
Ottawa, I think.
PDGA Europe is not doing that.
With this particular rule, I am curious to see how we're all going to feel about it at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I wish this was more of a situation that was like up to 4 people. Everyone could keep score if they'd like to. The ones that don't are going to get singled out and they're going to be, you know what I mean?
I like it.
I'm not going to go with a bad attitude, but
there are the disc golfers that have habitually said, my phone's in my car, and then we'll see them checking their scores or Facebook or whatever it is on hole 3. No, you have your phone.
Name names. Like, yeah, who does that?
The guys.
Too many to name.
Yeah. The guys that refuse and they're like, hey, put me second on the card, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't want to keep score.
No, we're not doing that anymore. You have a responsibility as a sanctioned player in this event to do your part to make sure everything is correct.
Mm-hmm.
The onus isn't put on any particular card mate. Now everyone has to do it. So there's no argument. I love it. I love the fact that everybody's keeping score.
I'm hoping that more people realize exactly how easy it is to keep digital score. I think it's more complicated to keep paper. Personally,
you're picking
your
phone out of your pocket anyway.
Get a Squatch bag. It's right on the side.
Yeah. Ooh, I have one for sale, by the way.
Oh, you do?
A Calvin Heimberg Squatch bag.
Mike, what do you think is the next most important rule change?
I mean, it's the first one listed on here, probably because it's by numbers, but 803.01, moving obstacles. They've changed it so before you couldn't change anything by your lie or by that, what is it, 20 by 30 centimeter square, like a piece of paper square by your lie. Now, you
What does that mean for somebody who's never even heard of this rule?
So if there's a stick or a rock.
Yeah, if there was something in your way that's not by your lie, but before the lie, you couldn't move that. If it was like a stick or something, a rock or something that you could move, but it was in that square where you plant your foot, you could move that. But if it was in your run up, you could not. So
there's a stick on the ground between your just the path that you're going to run up.
Correct.
You could slip on that. Correct. And it could completely just screw your shot.
Right.
And you're not allowed to move that.
Now you can't. So I'll just read this verbatim. This greatly broadens the area in which players may move casual obstacles. This change responds to requests from players that the rules grant the ability to clear casual obstacles from a larger area to accommodate a run-up. Specifically, 803.01, subsection B, a player may move casual obstacles that are on the plane surface farther from the target than the front of the edge of the lie.
So anything before you're on your side of your marker.
Correct.
You can move. But if it's in front of your marker, you cannot move it.
If it is dead and detached.
Right.
Yes.
Specifically.
Casual items.
Yes.
Like khakis. If there's a pair of khakis anywhere in your lie, you can move that.
Correct.
But blue jeans. Blue jeans got to stay.
Yeah. Goob, like, there you go, Goob. You got it.
Damn it. It took me a second to get it. Once I got it, I was like, damn it, Jason's right again. Son of a bitch. The cool, maybe not the cool, the thing that always my mind goes to when we're talking about this specific rule is when there's like a fallen tree, like a huge thing. Mm-hmm. But it's dead and detached. Technically, you can move that. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Technically, you could.
You were allowed to for a long time. Then you weren't. They changed the rule. And now we're back to...
Correct.
We're back to the better version with a little bit more regulation.
Well, dead and detached is a different rule set altogether. This is just specifically your lie. In the case of, I think it was Clash 1 year or something on hole 15 at Delwood.
Ezra Aderhold in the picnic table?
No. The giant tree that came down.
Oh, yeah.
At like 7 a.m., we cleared as much of it as we could, but there was most of the tree in the way, in the fairway. And technically, if someone had the superhuman strength to pick that up and move it, they technically could because it was down and detached. But because it was there for everyone, we basically decided that it was part of the course for that particular tournament because everyone had to play with it in the way, so it was fair. But you could technically move it.
But is that a thing? Like if you designate it as the TD, that's part of the course. No one's allowed to move that thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. But that would be just like something you'd call out during the players meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or send via messenger on live scoring app.
Gotcha.
Yeah. To anybody that's out playing already.
Or you have Mitch DePiro stationed by that tree.
Yeah.
And whenever someone tries he'll to touch it, he says.
He'll scream it.
Oh, hell no.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't like about this rule. I'm going to play devil's advocate on most of these. We have now made a consideration of run-ups. What about follow-throughs? What about those jump putts? I am more concerned, and hear me out, everything else in our sport is measured by meters. We get meter relief from this. We get 2 meters from barbed wire, right? So why can't we just say that anything inside of a 2 meter radius around our lie can be moved. And here's why I'm saying this. If we're considering run-ups, what about when I'm 40 feet away from the basket and I want to jump putt? If there's something in front of my lie, 12 inches in front of my lie, and I don't want to twist my ankle on it, I want to be able to move that object just for safety alone. Or if it's a big branch and I want to jump putt. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really unfortunate that the PDGA is not considering all of the things. I swear, it's like sometimes we take one step forward and three steps back. We come together, I just wish that they would simplify this rule by saying anything within 2 meters of your lie, if it's dead and detached, can be moved. It covers all bases and everybody's happy.
I like that they changed it so it makes more sense so that your run up and anything behind that so you can get good footing. That's fine. But I mean, picture 40 feet from the basket and there's a 3 foot trench that is part of the course. And now you can't jump putt, right? So it's the same situation. You have to make that determination. Okay, can I jump putt and maybe twist my ankle? Because this part of the course, there's a bunch of rocks and a giant ditch in front of me, right? So now that there's just a rock or a tree branch that has fallen and now I can't move it, you have to make that same decision. We all have walked a course and there's a branch in the way and picked it up and tossed it into the woods.
All of us have done that. Jason, right. Correct?
Twice earlier today.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know specifically when you're playing in a tournament if you can just walk by and, oh, there's a stick in the fairway. I'm going to toss it into the woods so that the fairways are cleaner, right? Yeah, it's like your tiny little part of helping the course out.
Right.
I don't know if you can do that now. I like the rule change this year is better than last. I don't mind it nearly as much as I used to, but I guess I agree with you. Like, you should be able to move it if it's in front too, but like.
As a safety thing, purely. Mm-hmm. I want to jump up. I don't want to roll my ankle.
For safety, I agree, but.
All right, moving on, Mike. What do we have?
There's
what do
you a got couple, for us, Jobin? They talk about, they define a tie and like sudden, like you have to use sudden death.
What did they use for the name of the sudden death? It was an A word.
Aggregate
sudden death.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Rather than.
Just make it be sudden
pure
death.
Pure sudden death. First hole, somebody wins. You can make a 3-hole sudden death or whatever you determine.
6 or fewer.
Six or fewer. So that the two players that have tied have to play through those 6 holes. So if you are down by 1 after the first hole, you can make it back in that sudden death, which defeats the purpose of calling it sudden death.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So it's more like
a slow death.
Yeah. More
well,
like eventual
you
death.
You can choose. Yeah. The TD can define what's
how the
clear
playoff.
A tie.
Based right. Before sure. The rule change, so based like let's say 2023, somebody at Clash, you know, two players come back, they're tied. How do you handle that as a TD?
Well, I mean, I think it was just tournament director discretion, but for certain for
how,
first
how did point, you guys for, specifically usually handle it?
I mean, it was just
sudden death sudden playoff. Death. If it was first place. Yeah. Second or third was a CTP.
Okay.
I think we had to for the
we would always split winnings for second or third, and then it was just a CTP for hardware. But
okay,
first place was
a that's what I was trying to figure out. Is where does the CTP come in?
It's, but I think for Silver hardware. Series, we had to predetermine what a playoff like which playoff holes we were to use.
Correct.
But, they did define for that also is that sudden death play, including aggregate playoffs, shall begin whenever possible on the same course and layout on a previous round on hole number 1, unless a different course, hole, or series of holes is designated by the TD.
So you have to start on hole 1 unless you want to start on a different hole.
Correct.
So,
but it specifically says that it has to be the same layout too. We played white to B on Clash. We're just going to go to the A pin.
Right.
The interpretation there is like if the tournament player, if the players start on 13 at Delwood, then hole 1 for the playoff is hole 13.
Correct. Yeah.
Unless
you pick a different. Unless it's that's defined by the TD before the event.
Yeah. Before the event.
It's not just like, well, let's do this.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was trying to figure out is can the TD just be like, I want y'all to start on this hole now?
Yeah.
Before the event, you have to define that,
Which is exactly how Sean would do it, right? He would put his fingers on his little chin just like this. Uh-huh.
You're going to play backwards on hole 13 to hole 12.
Yeah.
Well, I think y'all are going to start on this hole.
When did he become Blanche Devereaux?
Yeah.
He's undressing me with his eyes. Do you want to move to another table? Not yet. He's only half done.
I like the idea of aggregate sudden death, but eventual death is what that would be called.
Mm-hmm. I like the good old fashioned first place sudden death start on the hole.
I mean,
one.
We can still choose that,
what
right?
We've,
correct.
Yes,
correct.
TD so, discretion. So fine. What we've been doing
isn't
is
that what
fine.
That picture is from? Wasn't
absolutely
wasn't that sudden death play?
That's 100% correct.
After
Jack,
one hole.
Job.
Yeah.
Good
so
job.
I think what this does here is that it introduces the option for TDs to use an aggregate playoff because that wasn't an option before. It was just sudden death. So a TD could define or could say, hey, a tie is you have to play these 3 holes, not first.
I think that would have been
break.
Cool for Clash. Like, okay, now you guys have to play 13.
Pros and cons, I think. Right. I love that the pressure that comes on for sudden death is like this other measure of the player. Like,
every single shot matters,
The next throw you're about to, that is everything is riding on it. And it's cool to see who can and can't rise to that. But then at the same time, somebody binks a tree on that drive, like the playoff is over now.
We did have a 3-way playoff for first last year Fraction Run Cup, if you recall.
Yes, we did. Yes. And that went to
couple of holes.
Couple holes, yeah.
Yep. I remember Birdo dropped off and took third. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember who it was.
Might as Maverick well have been 10 years ago.
Mav.
And iMac.
That's right.
Oh, Maverick. IMac.
And Maverick took it down. And Birdo. Isaac second. Mm-hmm. Birdo third. Yeah.
Yep.
We got there.
I saw his face. I couldn't think of it.
Yeah.
He said all three of those names. I think he got there.
I said Birdo.
He said Birdo.
The aggregate playoff, I think, is cool for the spectators.
Yeah.
Just given that the playoff is the most exciting thing that can happen. And if it's over on the first throw because somebody
hit the first available, whatever. Right? That's like, oh, it's a bummer, right?
Yeah. Like, cool for the player who just won. But like, all of us wanted to watch the intensity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the option. It's cool.
Do we get into the other one? Pace of play.
All right.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So they defined pace of play or just added some stuff to pace of play, which is 3.02. PDGA says this addition codifies the concept of putting a group, quote, on the clock, defines what being on the clock means, and outlines the relevant procedures. It also clarifies that pace of play applies to groups as well as individuals. So I think that it's interesting, but it's also there's a lot of wiggle room here because it talks about what undue delay means. And what was the one we had talked about earlier about like, well, that just means, you know, it's just super vague.
Yeah.
There was something in there that it said it was just super vague that it's hard to really say.
What was the verbiage they used?
Basically, this rule
without delay is the phrase.
Without delay. Yeah. What does without delay mean? What determines having an official start the clock? Like, at what point do you do that?
And that's where it's hard to really say. Like, undue delay means delays in play other than as permitted by rule that affect the pace of play of the group behind them. Players in groups are expected to move without delay from the competition from the completion of one hole to the teeing area of the next hole, so not as to affect the pace of play with the group behind it. During play on a hole, a player or group shall not cause undue delay by their actions or inaction. So that's just, it's still really vague.
So what it's saying now is instead of somebody coming back to Tournament Central and saying, this guy, so-and-so, or this group was playing so slow and this is bullshit and et cetera, now if there are complaints about a certain card, we can, as officials, send another official or ourselves go and start a clock and a timer so that we would time each throw so that we can determine that there has not been an undue delay, which pulls somebody away from
I'm not doing tournament. That. Like, yeah, that's why I don't like this rule. Like, I get why they'd have to implement it at majors and DGPT.
There's so many officials and there are so many
But if
many
you think that
volunteers.
I'm going to go follow around the two people that you and I have in our heads that would be problematic for this rule.
I already know who they are.
Ain't happening.
Yeah.
Ain't happening. I don't listen to those people when they come back and complain. I go, get your player pack. And hit the bricks. Okay, man? Right. Like, we're all just casually playing disc golf here. Yeah. Everybody relax.
Shut up, nerd.
Yeah, man. Like, chill out. This is what I don't like about the PDGA rules. I don't want to go off on too much of a rant here, but, like, there should just be separate rules for separate things. I understand the implication on the highest level for this rule because we know we've seen the Nikos and the Gannons take too long and the professionals at the highest level complain about it and it is affecting their game. And absolutely, it should be implemented on that level. But I just you know can't see how. What I don't like. One more thing, I don't like that the other people that nitpick this stuff are going to try to. This is what it gives the idiots a voice.
Sure.
And I don't like that because I end up having to be the guy. We have end up being the guys that have to figure this shit out, and I just don't care for it.
What I don't like is that there have been rules about players giving other players warnings and courtesy violations for taking too long. Other players and officials on the course can say to a player, you've been taking too long. They can time it. They can give them a warning. They can tell the officials. There have been outlets to prevent extended play or undue delay, as it's called, but nobody uses that. People will complain extensively. They'll come back and
sit every tournament.
They'll sit at Tournament Central and sit next to us behind the table, which we don't want in the first place, for 45 minutes
about number one.
How so-and-so got their rangefinder out four times and then walked back and then walked over and rattled the chains and then walked back and did all this stuff. And we say, well, did you say anything?
Yeah.
Did you give them a warning? Was there a courtesy violation? Did you do anything about it? Of course they didn't. They just want to bitch about it instead of doing what it would take to either penalize or warn that player. And then maybe eventually that player's like, oh yeah, maybe I'm being a jagoff. I got to get my shit together and I have to start playing like the rest of us. But that doesn't happen. So it just perpetuates itself. And then there are rules like this, which are never going to be enforced. I like the idea in theory, but there's
like
no
the local level, level. No way. Yeah.
No,
I don't see it.
Absolutely.
Which is why I'd love to see a subsection on these rules where it is applied at 8 tiers or above.
Or how, just get rid of it. Tournament directors can make that determination.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to mention this about the
like 2 meter
putting
rule.
On the clock.
Yeah.
Because like, that's an actual thing that they want to define.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it's the first thing here is like if in the sole discretion of the tournament director or designated tournament official, a group is causing undue delay, that group may be put on the clock. So it's the group. So you can't even single out someone for that. It's the group mm-hmm. that is on the clock then.
Right.
On the clock means that a tournament official will accompany the group and actively time each player to ensure their play conforms with 802.03 excessive time and with 3.02 A through D and will issue warnings and penalty throws accordingly. Mm-hmm. Like that's just micromanaging, man.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
no. We're not doing that. If you, I'm not going to strike jerseys. I'm not going to go, hey, John Cleveland, 77-year-old John Cleveland.
Yeah.
The MA60 guys behind you are saying you're taking too long. So I got to walk with you? Absolutely not.
I want to walk. I want to hang out with John Cleveland.
Yeah. I would just be like, don't worry about it. Those guys are being dorks.
Right.
Take your time, bro.
You should put a disclaimer like on the registration for your events. Just no nerds or no bitch assness.
No nerds.
Nerd free.
Yes.
Goob free.
Before we get too far away from this one, I do have a question about it. Undue delay. That is a local homie, right? Because I know I've met that.
Yeah. Before. You've met him. Yeah. He was at Undoodly?
Undoodly?
Yeah. Did I pronounce it wrong?
Undoodly.
Yeah. That's how it's pronounced.
Well, I think he's from Namibia. Yeah.
That's exactly. That's the same guy.
Undoodly. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Good.
Justin and Undude.
Yeah. All right. Apostle.
Is there anything else like that are substantial rules enough for us to keep chatting about?
There, yeah. There's
yeah.
Some,
there's some more. 3.03 player misconduct. It removes the TD's discretion to issue a tournament warning for public display or use of alcohol at C tier level, and instead requires disqualification. So before it was B tier and above was no alcohol. C tier is like meh.
I think the more C tier and above now, which is great, but I think the more important rule is that it removes TD discretion.
Correct.
It states that if you are displaying or using drinking alcoholic beverages between when
the
2 minute
warning
and you
turn in your
out,
scorecard.
2 minute warning.
Yes.
2 minute warning, right.
2 minutes before
and,
you tee off.
And you hole out, you are disqualified. You're not talked to. You're not warned. You're not whispered to, hey dude, put that away. You are disqualified.
Does it say just alcohol or
it's well it they does also mention talk about cannabis, cannabis but so 303.03b, if a player violates the above standard, the tournament director may opt in their sole discretion to issue a tournament warning for first offense, except as specified in 3.03c. Tournament warning is a type of warning whose effects go through all rounds and sudden death. Otherwise, the tournament director will immediately disqualify the player. So you can issue a warning, but if you don't issue the warning, and you can just be like, all right, you're out. Warning is through all rounds.
We talk about this constantly. There are players that are like, well, I think I won't drink at B tiers and above anymore. Like it has been their choice all along.
Yeah.
Like they're going to opt not to try and down an 18 pack before they're done with 18 holes, which we've seen.
Mm-hmm. I respect that discipline, that self-discipline that, somebody makes that called growth.
A beer hole. Yeah. but that, and I feel like that's the reason some of these guys have carts. Like,
legitimately.
And casually.
So
great.
Remember when I said accept as specified by 3.03c? 3.03c says the following actions will also violate the above standard. Players who commit one or more of these violations will not receive a warning and will be immediately disqualified by the tournament director. And that does include public display or use of alcohol at PDJ events at C tier or higher, or of cannabis other than permitted by the CBD product use policy at PDGA sanctioned events at any tier level.
Does it say anything about any other substances like tobacco or anything?
No, but there's other rules about tobacco.
It's park dependent.
Oh, I see.
And TD discretion, obviously. But we said it earlier. If you can't just not drink for the 3 hours, it takes you between 2 minutes and when you hole out, we're going to have a different talk.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah. Maybe you shouldn't be coming around tournaments playing disc golf. Maybe you should focus on the reason that you have to bring a 12 pack
right.
to yeah. a sanctioned round, right? Like, and I know it's casual for most guys and they're going to bitch and complain about it, but that's life, man. That's how this works.
No joke. Like, I love this. It's pushing to legitimize the sport.
Yeah. Yep.
You don't go to an NBA game and after the dude makes his first free throw, he gets to crack a cold one before he does the second one. Like, yeah. what are we talking about
I would
here?
Watch that league, though.
If it wasn't, like, people trying to be a professional, you know, athlete or whatever, sure.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be PDGA, if you're going to have a number and yeah. everything, and this is all sanctioned, legitimize the sport by saying, yeah. what are we doing yeah. here?
Don't drink for 3 hours. Yeah. I can't say it enough. Ryan just said it. We talk about don't be a nerd. This is one of the rules where I feel like it is totally okay to enforce because what we're asking you to do is like...
not unreasonable.
Not unreasonable at all.
Sure.
The excuse that, oh man, I play so much better if I have a couple. Okay, well, down a couple before 2 minutes.
Yeah.
If that...
get
if
your buzz going in the parking lot.
That which is okay. ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
Which, yeah,
right.
to even say that out loud.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean,
sure.
it gets the whole vibe of like, oh, it's stoner golf or whatever it is, and like, oh, you're just having fun or whatever. But yeah. if you're playing a sanctioned event, which is something you pay into,
totally,
it you know they're trying to make it a real thing.
And I think that's great. I think we should
stand behind it. All the people that are not to overuse goobers, but all the people that I could think of, I want to enforce this rule with them specifically and go, what is that? Get it out of here. Or you're disqualified.
Totally.
Consider this your warning.
All right, Mike, keep us going. Is there, what's the next?
I think we just saw one recently that at chess.com, KJ, Kevin Jones, got penalized 2 strokes for not being at the, what was it? He wasn't there 5 minutes before tee time. So.
Again, not unreasonable.
Right.
It's not.
This is your job mm-hmm. at that level.
Yep.
You can't be 5 minutes early to your job, what you've trained for. What you spent money to travel to?
What you call your profession?
The reason I think it's great is not because it's for the player. It's for the card. As soon as you're within that 5 minute window and the player's not at the tee box yet, everybody's now wondering, is this person going to show up? How are we going to deal with this if he doesn't show up? Yeah. And it puts a state of stress on everybody. Yeah. Like, I might have to make a decision that's going to suck.
It's an integrity and respect issue to me.
And this is competition manual rules that still apply. And specifically for the 5 minute thing, it's for majors and elite series.
Which I think is good.
Yes.
I like that they specified there because I'm going to go back on what I said before. At our C tiers and B tiers, some of these guys are working 6-7 days a week.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy that ruins their one day off.
Yeah, right.
So if they are legitimate, I don't want them to be late and I want them to respect everyone else's time. I 100% agree with you there.
Yes.
But there are definitely instances where people have just gotten caught up. They couldn't have avoided it. I don't want to be the guy that says, oh, you weren't here 5 minutes ago, even though we're running late. You know what I mean? Tee time wise.
Sure, that was the Luke Humphreys.
If we're, you know what I mean? Just like Luke Humphreys, right?
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that they specified at majors that applies. Thank God.
But it still comes down to you got caught in traffic. You slept in. I don't care what it is. With the exception of Jason Allen, we all have tiny computers in our pockets.
Yep.
And we could just say, hey, I'm on my way, which alleviates all that stress. Hey, guys, he's coming. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Even if you can't do that, that would eliminate all the issue.
Yeah.
Right. Just a message. I wonder if KJ said, hey, I got lost because I've never been here before, or I don't know where I'm going. I'm in Florida, who God knows where. Right. An alligator ate the tire on my rental car. Right. I can't get there. Whatever it was. I know I'm probably going to be late. I am so sorry. Like anything like that. And I wonder if that would have been avoided. You know, I don't know if it's a hard and fast.
Right. I don't know.
My gut is he probably didn't and just didn't worry about it.
Come Kevin Jones and
listen to my name and
I can be late.
You know,
yeah.
That was really the end of the major changes. They talked about grouping for required divisions for A tiers, about how they have to offer MPO and FPO for pro only A tiers, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, there was one small change to the payouts, the AM payouts.
Oh, right.
It used to be if you didn't pick up your amateur funny money or payouts or whatever it was, you had 6 months to do so.
The TD had to keep track of your shit for 6 months.
Yes. And they had to make a reasonable effort to get those to you via mail or whatever. In Sean's case and Sheila's case, it's at the shop and it's very accessible, you know, but now they have changed it to, if we give you your funny money, we still have a determined amount of time of probably 6 months or whatever it is mm-hmm. to use that. But if you didn't even pick up that funny money, you now have 30 days. And after 30 days, ripped up in the trash. Sorry.
Correct. Competition manual 1.10 distribution of prizes. They just said, and I'm quoting here, these changes clarify at what tiers TDs may offer merchandise to amateurs playing professional divisions and reduce the time frame for relinquishment of unclaimed prizes. Specifically for what Ryan just mentioned, G.5 says any prizes, cash, trophies, or merchandise that remain unclaimed through no fault of TD 30 days after completion of the event mm-hmm. are then relinquished by the player. TDs must make a reasonable effort to provide the payout to the player by contacting them, offer to ship, etc. And then highlighted here about a new thing is a player has claimed a gift certificate, gift card, gift code, or similar prize upon receiving it, and this time limit does not apply to the redemption of such certificates, cards, codes, or similar prizes.
Right. So once you get that in your hand,
then it's good for whatever the TD says it is. Right. But if you don't make an effort to get there, then it's 30 days.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nate Heinold.
Yeah. Right.
He's on the rules committee. I mean, he's advocating for this stuff, I'm sure, because imagine having to do that for Ledgestone.
Right.
Well, and he runs so many. Right. So Ledgestone on top of the lower and all of that.
Yeah.
Right. As much as
I think it's a good call.
Yeah. I think it's a great call. I've seen the stack of funny money that is near the POS at Delwood, and it grows exponentially and it gets ridiculous. And seeing you guys trying to fan through them and find a name, and you're joking around about how it's probably already expired.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. All right. There are, like I said, there's some other minor changes, and this applies to the official rules of disc golf. 802.05 is the lie rule, and they clarify clarifies how the line of play behaves when a playing surface ends. So in all cases that the lie is a rectangle that's 20 centimeters wide by 30 centimeters deep, centered on the line of play behind the rear edge of the marker disc, line of play is an imaginary line, blah, blah, blah. If that playing surface ends, the line of play continues on the nearest playing surface following that line. They're just clarifying how that lie ends, because that, and they also talk about relief of from obstacles, about harmful insects or animals that are in front of the lie. Previously, a player would not be entitled to relief if it was in front of the lie, but now if there's like a big spider web or something, I guess you can move it or get rid of it if it's in front of your lie.
You can call Steve Brown and he will help you out.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, downtown, Steve Brown.
That has been an issue. Yes, if that giant tree on 15 housed a bunch of bald-faced hornets and you were directly behind that tree, too bad. Get stung before you.
That's again where the no bitch assness comes into play.
Right. Yeah. Don't be a bitch ass.
Some other minor ones. They define like if there is a hazard and an OB line that run parallel, or that's one line there, it's the OB line that takes precedence. So if you've got like a sand trap next to like a paved surface and there's a painted line or whatever, the line is OB. And then whatever like that sand trap is hazard. But then if your disc or if your lie is all the way on that line, then it's OB. It's not hazard.
Got it. So that's cool. Yeah. That makes sense. That is so specific.
Yeah.
Why then do they muddy it up otherwise?
Yeah. Undue delay.
Undue delay. Yeah.
There's too many vague rules in here. Outside of that, I mean, a lot of it's just tour standard rules, like talking about suspension of play. It's all minor stuff. Grouping for like divisions and age groups.
Mm-hmm.
I think we covered the big ones. So
yeah.
I think we're gonna start to get in the nitty gritty if we keep going into any of these other things. And honestly, I think we did justice to the conversation of like the big rule changes. I think we all agree that they were all good. Didn't hear any real complaints.
The pace of play one's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to try to enforce it, or someone's going to come to us.
I was saying earlier, it's going to be the other players that aren't causing the undue delay that will become problematic, expecting me to do something about making someone move faster that maybe can't.
I can only think of the guys that could but won't.
Right.
And that's the only hang up I have.
Yeah.
It's because we know who they are.
We know who he is.
We know they are who we thought they were. Yeah. And they'll continue to be a problem, and they will until they stop playing disc golf. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you that
disc golf is not the only place in life where those people act this way.
Totally.
Sure.
The other players should have, previous to now, warned them, penalized them.
Shouldn't be new to them.
They should have, they should have realized their folly. And now it's up to the tournament directors. It's like, instead of me and Mike as siblings fighting over a bag of M&Ms and figuring it out, Mike runs crying and goes to mom. And
Mom, I'm the one.
Now parents are involved. Mm-hmm. And so
Mike, Mike crying. Than Mike.
Yeah, right. true.
So now the parents are involved and now everybody's in trouble. It should have never come to that. He should have just given me the M&Ms.
Sure. You son of a.
Yeah.
I bought them.
All right. Let's change gears. Let's move along. Let's get to our fantasy disc golf conversation. Ryan, first off, what is the league called?
I'm going to hop up and let Sheila talk.
Jason, let's get into it.
So you mean we're about to talk about the Fantasy Frisbee Analytics and Reconnaissance Tournament?
Yes.
That is what we're going to talk about next. Yes.
Correct.
We all determined that that was the most accurate name that we could come up with.
It's a perfect name. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. Given what we have determined all the specifics to be. Yeah.
It is a tournament of your ability to recon.
Analyze.
And analyze. Exactly.
Yeah.
Fantasy.
Frisbee. Fantasy Frisbee.
Yes. Yeah. Obvious.
Obviously.
Painfully obvious.
Yep.
You came up with the seed of the idea, and then I feel like Ryan started to put the walls on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila and I'm the only person who hasn't contributed to this idea. I'll say that, but I'm maybe the most excited about it. Let's talk about how the league works, like some of the rules and how we're doing this. And then we'll talk about our teams and the results and what happens with the results.
Can I just say first that I don't care how you as the listener want fantasy disc golf to work.
Right. We don't need any feedback on this.
Yeah.
We got it figured out.
We don't care how scoring could be better or worse. Or any of that.
I feel like you're saying this specifically to David Garb.
Oh, no, I wasn't even thinking of David
Garb.
There
will be other people sure.
But Garb, shut up.
Yep. Yeah. Just sit back and enjoy, bro.
Yeah. The whole reason I'm excited about it, which I alluded to earlier, was that we get to make shit up as we go. Yep. And that's the only, and it's us.
Yes.
Right. We're doing
it. It's
not
a bunch of people we don't know. It's not 16 people that we had to do a giant draft and we have to change players every 5 minutes so that all that kind of stuff is thrown out the window. And I think it's great.
So the night before chess.com, we got together and we drafted our players.
The morning, the day before this all sprung into
we figured it out that morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Picked our teams that night. So each of us chose 7 players, 5 MPO, 2 FPO. We also allowed ourselves 2 alternate MPO and 1 alternate FPO player that shall be drafted, only used if main team players are not on tournament roster or DNF in any round other than the final round. So our team is 10, but we only have 7 active at any one point.
Right.
Right. Right.
Somebody can be promoted from alternate to a starter if your starter misses 3 events in a row, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I think we determine if, let's say, Nate Sexton was on your team and he just doesn't sign up for 3 tournaments in a row. You're like, oh, maybe he's not touring this season.
Right.
Then we'll give that team the option to either promote an alternate and choose another alternate or draft a new player altogether.
Exactly.
So, yep.
So the way the tournament works is lowest point wins. Point totals will equal the sum of 7 player standings at the end of the tournament. Mm-hmm. If a player on the main team DNFs in any round except the final round, alt player must be used. If a player DNFs in the final round, no substitution shall be made, and point totals will reflect the place given to that player. So essentially, that's at the base of this, that's all we're doing is if someone on your team comes in first for that tournament, they get awarded 1 point. Mm-hmm. If they come in 69th,
hey-o.
They get 69 points.
Nice.
And it's lowest point.
Sean just did a gym look at the camera.
we just add up all the players' standings. Ranks.
A rank is a point.
Yeah.
And you add up the points, lowest wins.
Yeah. And we've got a couple modifiers.
You know what I do like? I was looking at the stats that you plugged in.
Yeah.
This is also going to help us know what place they came in. We're keeping 2 stats at once.
Yeah, totally. There are a couple modifiers that we're working out.
Right.
Guys, listeners, we just figured this out.
Right.
It's not going to be perfect.
Let me go back to the thing we said 5 minutes ago.
Right.
We don't need any feedback.
It's not sportsbook.com, whatever. It's not crazy. So we're working this out as we go, but we determined that one modifier that could be fun is if your player scored on average shot a rating higher than their rating, then we could subtract 10 points from your total score. So even if they came in 80th place, I don't know why you would have picked somebody that would have shot higher than their rating in 80th place. But even if they did, you get 10 points subtracted from your score.
And again, subtracting points is a good thing.
Yeah.
We want lower scores.
Yes.
So things like that I thought were funny.
Before we talk about the points in our team names.
Yeah.
Well, just talk about the most fun thing that is part of this league. Like what happens between us?
So some of the fun that we've put into this, and we have yet to determine all of the things that we need to do.
Right.
But a few things is that last place for each tournament will have to spin the Wheel of Condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
It is a spinning wheel that ironically has all of the colors of our teams already on it. Thank you, Amazon. It was so perfect.
Kismet.
Yeah, but there are two of each color, and the loser spins, and they are all punishments of some sort. So one of them that I thought was very funny is the pitch shift. So for the rest of the episode, if you land on that, your
that person's voice.
Your voice will be pitch shifted, and it will sound funny, but you won't hear it in real time, so you will be very serious about what you're talking about, and you'll sound like a squirrel. I think that's really funny. There's one where you'll have to be blindfolded for the rest of the episode. There's a shot of Malort. There's a phone a friend, which we'll talk about in length later, but mm-hmm. we will have to call a listener and they will have to answer a trivia question. And if you get it right, you get 10 points subtracted off your score from the week prior.
Yep. Sheila, what is the coolest thing on the big wheel?
The spiral? Oh, the tiny wheel. I'm being a real goob.
Hard goobish. 10 out of 10 on the goob scale.
Oh my God. That's the goobest thing I've ever done. All right. So tiny wheel.
I wish you could all see us. We were all going like circles with our hands, but making them really
making
small.
Making them smaller and smaller.
Tiny wheel.
See how I'm making my hands tiny?
Well, earlier, so in the center of the wheels, there's a red and white spiral. And I was like, this is like the movie Saw. So I couldn't get that out of my head.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Understood.
If you lose that week and you have to spin the wheel, if it lands on the color that you represent, like mm-hmm. you were explaining earlier, if Jason lands on purple, he gets to spin the tiny wheel. The tiny wheel is more fun stuff.
Yeah, not it's rewards.
It's rewards.
Yeah.
Not punishments. Right. So.
So a few things on the tiny wheel are subtraction of points.
Obviously.
From your total, minus 10 to minus 50, which would be enormous.
Mm-hmm. Pretty huge. Let's not say anything else is on the tiny wheel.
Okay.
Let's just, we,
there
just,
are
just
other
know,
things on the tiny wheel.
There is a chance that when somebody spins the wheel, they might have to then spin a tiny version of the wheel with different kinds of punishments. And I will say there's one spot on the tiny wheel that sends you back to the big wheel.
That is true.
So the odds of the tiny wheel coming out are a little bit slim, and we're just, I think we all just want that moment where we're chanting tiny wheel.
Yeah. Tiny wheel.
I want in the worst way for it to go to tiny wheel and then back to big wheel.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So hard.
That is best case scenario.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
oh my God, please.
You're so chanting, Ray. You're chanting.
You make your way to tiny wheel and then you end up biffing it and you got to go back. That's so good. It's so good.
Let me also explain one that MF over here, Mike Ferreira, was so utterly excited about that Sean cannot stand and is already frightened to death of.
Yeah.
It's called pee-pee pants.
That's right.
And we will have a squirt gun and we will all get one squirt at the loser's pants, and they have to sit with pee-pee pants for the rest of the episode.
For the rest of the episode.
God, that's so funny.
It's so perfect.
The Wheel of Condemnation is really the whole goal of this fantasy league it's become. Some other reasons to spin the wheel are if a player from your team aces, the other four team captains have to spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel,
If one of your players shoots a +4 or above on any hole, you would have to spin the tiny wheel that amount. I mean, if they do it on every hole, you got to spin that 18 times. You're sure to end up with pee-pee pants after that.
Oh, you just reminded me of the Fred Armisen thing, that go to jail, believe it or not.
Straight to jail.
The way you were explaining that was just like that. That was so good.
You're driving too fast, jail. Slow, jail.
Shoot under par, believe it or not, jail.
this is why your suggestions, listeners, don't matter, because it's all about the wheel.
It's not going to matter.
We got this. It's all good.
So we've lined up all the tour stops minus the European tour, and we're going to see who's picked the best team.
The Wheel of Condemnation is actually from Condemnation, which is a little sister country to Puyo, Kyopio.
The condemnation is the over there in Finland. Yeah.
All right. Jason, what is your team name?
I chose Team Jaylene.
Shocker.
Yeah. Big shocker.
Listeners will know.
Purple. So, you got to sing it when you say it.
Jaylene. Jaylene. Here's who is on Team Jaylene.
Hit us.
My five MPO players are Ricky Wysocki, Matt Oram, Alden Harris, Chris Dickerson, and Nicholas Antilla. My FPO players are on Scoggins.
No,
I know.
And also, when you say, you can't say Nicholas, you got to say Niklas Antilla.
Niklas.
You got to say it like it's pronounced.
Own. Is it own?
Own.
Yes. God, it was 50-50 in my head, and I thought I chose the right one. Sorry. Own Scoggins.
Got him.
And Evelina Salonen.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll talk about alts when we get to it. We'll just do. We'll do. Yeah. Major team.
Can I lineup. Also explain, you didn't mention, we also have two wild card picks.
That's right.
So we have a wild card MPO and FPO player, and their scores are not counted for any reason unless in MPO, if that player happens to place in the top 10.
Right.
If they do, there's a certain amount of points involved. If they win, you have the equivalent of however many places there were in that division. So if there's 120 players, you have that many points taken off your total score.
Yeah.
So for you, Jason, you have Brody Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Brody Smith won chess.com, you would have taken 112 points off your total score.
Yeah. Which would have been such bullshit after the way things actually unfolded.
Absolutely, it would have.
So we each have one of those. Yep. That's fun too.
You don't want to run through your alts and just do your whole team?
Yeah.
Fine.
Just do your whole team.
All right. My alts are Kevin Jones and Nico LoCastro.
Low class, bro.
Nico Low class.
And my alt FBO player is Henna Blumroos.
The great thing about your draft is that you didn't know almost anything about a lot of these players.
Oh, yeah. I left out my FPO wild card is DN Carey. But yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when we had our Zoom call, if you want to call it.
Yes.
Zoom draft.
It was a Google Zoom Meet.
Draft. Yeah, Google Meet. Google Meet draft. I did all of 90 seconds of research in order to pick my players. It was more like I went to their Instagram and just like checked the vibe.
Yeah.
And if I was like, oh, yeah. They seem cool.
Facebook
they made Team Jaylene. Okay. Yeah. That is all I did.
Sheila, your team.
Just Team Deucer. I couldn't come up with anything clever, but my tagline is cute. But I'll start with my team. I have Simon Lizotte, Anthony Barella, Aaron Gossage, Ezra Aderhold, Vino Makala, and then Paige Pierce and Haley King. Alts, Andrew Presnell, Emerson Keith, and then Sarah Hokum was my FPO alt who was put into play this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then wild cards, I have Yuli and Hannah Wynn.
And your team's tagline?
My team's tagline is Simon says the Deucer will win.
How is Wynn spelled?
H-U-Y-N-H.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I love
that tagline.
What
else did she win last year?
Clash. 2 years ago.
2 years.
2 years ago.
2022.
Excuse me. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. That was her first A-tier win.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
It was awesome.
Jason, your team color is purple.
Purple.
Your team color is?
Yellow, because that's all that was left over.
No, it's because that's April O'Neil and the rest of our colors are all based on Ninja Turtles. And right. April O'Neil famously wore that yellow jacket.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Perfect.
Meant to be.
Yeah. Turtle power.
Yeah.
Ryan, tell us about your team.
Yeah. My team is Team Contentious Toad.
What's the origin of that name?
If you know the photo of me and the toad, my spirit animal is the angry toad. So I thought it would be funny. So I'm just going to play into that. And my tagline is, I'm going to win, but I'm going to complain about it the whole time.
The sure. whole time.
Jason, did you say what your tagline was?
Oh, no, I didn't. My tagline is, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm still going to win.
Yeah, that's it. It's great.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So I picked a lot of the young guns, almost entirely. Isaac Robinson, Ezra Robinson, Cole Radalin, Adam Hammes, Robert Burridge. And then Holland Handley and Kristen Tatar. Ha ha ha. She didn't play last weekend. which was great.
That was the first pick of the draft.
Literally.
Yeah, smartest pick.
Smartest pick of the draft.
Yep. She's going to play the rest of them. I'm not worried.
Yep.
Then my alts are Corey Ellis, Gavin Babcock, and Jessica Weiss. And then the wild cards are Drew Gibson and Holly Finley.
Holly Finley. Solid team.
Team mm-hmm. Red, of course.
Yeah, Team Red. Yeah.
Raphael. All right. Sean.
Yes, sir.
Wait, you're green and that doesn't... What, it's Ninja Turtle? A, no.
They're all green.
No. They're all green.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, anyways. Still fits, yeah.
Anyways.
Team Callahelander, if you know, you know.
Never heard of it.
My team color is green, of course. And my MPO players are Gannon Burr, Kyle Klein, James Proctor, Paul Macbeth, and Chris Clemens. FPO players Missy Gannon and Katrina Allen, who is recently with child, announced. Wow. Thanks for that, Kat. Appreciate you. Also, good luck. All MPO players, we've got Ben Calloway and Andrew Marweed. All FPO is Maria Oliva. And my wild card picks are Parker Welk and Lucky Lorenzen. I don't have a tagline. I didn't come up with a tagline.
I didn't either, but yeah. I went last so I could come up with one, and it's terrible. I'll say it in a second. I just came up with it. But, okay. Then we'll come back to you, so you have until I finish with my team to come up with your tagline.
Absolutely not.
Whatever you come up with, mm-hmm. yep. that's it.
Incorrect.
You can't not have one.
Yeah. Incorrect. Give me more time.
You had since last week.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Yeah,
plenty of time, bro.
All right, and I am Team Tailwind, and I struggled a lot because everybody else's team felt so silly and cool, and mine's fine. Just... Mine's just... Yeah,
it's good.
It's the
kind of team name
not
as Goober would pick.
Fair. All right, Team Tailwind, the blue team. We have Calvin Heimberg, Eagle McMahon, Bradley Williams, James Conrad, Garrett Gerthy with the girth, Ella Hansen, Kat Murch, and my alts are Eric Oakley, Evan Scott, and Allie Smith. Wild cards, Luke Sampson and Stacey Ronsley. And my team tagline is... Let me tell you about the time I win this league.
Oh. That's great. Yeah,
that's I love
great.
It.
That is so good.
That's literally yeah. just came up with it. Sean, you go.
No, that's so good.
All right. Since I am Team Callahelander, my tagline has got to be all of this unofficially brought to you by I hate the name of this league.com.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
I love that your wild card is Luke Sampson.
I was going to pick him, and you picked.
I think it's such a good wild card pick because there is such a good chance.
Yep.
Like I wanted to make the wild card, and these are all based on I made the list for draft on last year's Stat Mando's rankings. But I wanted to make the wild card like a sub 50th place, you know, so you like the real underdog, and we didn't really embrace that. But it's still like all of our picks are great because if any of them get in there. It's going to be mayhem.
Yeah.
I was torn between Gavin Rathbun and Luke Sampson.
Yeah.
And obviously we saw how Gavin finished this week. Yeah. That would have been very well for me.
He would have been.
But the reason I picked Luke Sampson is I saw his number of top 10 finishes last year was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't really know much about him as a player. So I assume most of the time he's not in the top 10, but when he's hot, he's hot. I assume that's
no, what. No, that's true. I mean, and he played a lot of lower tier events. He played a lot of A tiers and more smaller local stuff, but he's such a like when he's hot, he's really hot.
Cool, great. We've talked about that guy enough. Now let's talk about who's in first place after chess.com.
Let's dive in.
So should I just go points totals?
Yeah.
Go from worst to first.
Worst to first.
Yeah. After the chess.com tournament.
Actually, let's go from first to worst because as cool as it is that first place happened, the juice of this is who's in last
place. Wheel.
Last place we'll have to spin the wheel. Mm-hmm. So in first place, mm-hmm. by an absolute fluke.
Because he says he has no idea what he's doing.
90 seconds of research. Is Team Jaylene picking Evelina Salonen, Ricky Wysocki, Matt Orem, who came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Everything came up.
The planets aligned.
It sure did.
My favorite thing is that you had no idea who a lot of these players were. And when you picked Evelina Salonen, I got the joy of sending you that clip of her completely missing putts.
Yeah.
And I was like, here's
who
you
just picked. She did some work.
And then she freaking won the whole thing.
He had four top 10 finishes.
Were you watching? Because we were watching it live all weekend.
Five top 10.
We always do, but this added that extra level of excitement to it.
Yeah.
Were you watching scores? Do you know how to even do that? Or were you?
So I would go on PDGA.com, type in chess.com in the search, find the event, and then click on it. And then you could sort by, I don't remember what I was sorting by, but I did that at several points throughout.
We'll have to show you how to stream.
Yeah, but you can. So there's a really cool way to watch it happening live.
Okay.
At the top of that page you went to.
Okay.
You click, there's a little trophy emoji icon that you click that link and it takes you to what we call live scoring.
Okay.
And you can watch it real time instead of having to like refresh it.
Like footage or the score sheet is being
score sheet
filled out in front of me.
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool, cool.
Which so, that'll be a game.
Listeners, this is how far removed from any of this he is.
Yes.
And he still crushed.
Came up with
by 37 points. Yeah.
And the scores are by the end of the tournament. It's not per day or whatever. But after the first day, I entered the scores just to see how things would shake out and to make sure that this was working. And he was like in first by like he had half of the points of anybody else.
Yeah.
And you're like, this, it's going to shake out.
The
this
vibes, can't something's be wrong in the algorithm. Yeah. I got to recheck
everything. Apparently the vibes were immaculate. Jason.
And so day two,
only by vibes.
It only got better. And by day three, we were like, this is ridiculous. So Team Jaylene has 7 players and a total of 73 points.
That is correct.
Yes. Unbelievable. 2 of his players played above their rating, which is shocking. Considering there were 5 top 10 finishes.
Right.
That's weird. So 73 points. And then in second place is the Deucer. She had 110 points. 110 points. She had 3 players above their rating, which was great. She ended up having to use an alt in Sarah Hokum because Haley King dropped out in the second day. Mm-hmm. And then in third place is Sean, Team Callahallander.
No, you.
Oh, geez, by 1. Yeah.
Team look contentious, at you two.
Yeah, Team
look
Contentious at you Toad by 1 point, 149 points. I only had 1 player above their rating, and I had to use Jessica Weiss as an alt because Kristen Tatar wasn't there. And
so,
then,
hold on. As far as the points are concerned, let me get this straight. So you guys eat, sleep, and breathe the shit, and I have half the points you do is what you're saying?
Shut up.
Oh, I'm going to cut all that out. So in fourth place, just behind me by a point is Sean, Team Callahallander with 150 points. He had 2 players play above their rating. He used his entire lineup, Gannon, Kyle, Missy Gannon.
3 top tens.
Yeah, it was. That's great. And then
I'm happy with it.
In
Paul McBeth let me down at his own damn track. Come on, Paulie. Pick it up, dog.
Place, yeah. And then bringing up the rear with 176 points.
Let me tell you.
You know what? You had, after day one, you had like 260 points.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I was
but with 176 that. Points and 2 players playing above their rating, you had to use
one of my alts.
One of your alts because Eagle McMahon wasn't there.
Right. He was my second overall pick.
Yeah.
And you had your first overall pick not play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. With 176 points, Team Tailwind is in last place. So that means that Team Tailwind
is the first team to have a chance at Tiny Wheel.
Yes.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Get that wheel.
That's a dub.
Get that wheel.
That's a dub. Because we're going to be chanting Tiny Wheel and it's going to land on Tiny Wheel.
So once again, what Alex is about to do is spin the big wheel. Big Wheel is full of punishments, but he has the opportunity to go to Tiny Wheel should he spin a blue segment right now. So before you spin, the rest of us have to chant,
barf.
Spin that wheel 3 times. And on the third, that's when you rip. 1, 2, 3.
Spin that wheel. Spin that wheel. Spin that wheel.
And he's so landing
it's
on.
It's not going to happen.
Shot him.
Shot him. Oh, Lord. Nice.
Suck it. Where is that?
Well,
I got it.
Yeah, you got it, Chief?
We do have Malord.
We do have Malord in the house. We're going to have to keep it in the house for the wheel
here tonight.
Okay.
For a deep one.
Here's the proof. By the way, listeners don't know this, but there are cameras set up in the studio for the first time today. We'll see what happens. We will see if this gets used.
Mike Ferreira is already thrown up at the mere thought of Malord. Yeah.
I don't mind. You know what? You know what? This is actually worse for Mike. Because I'm driving.
Just leave
Mike
it down
home.
Here. It's part of the basement now.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike is going to be in the car, in the passenger seat.
It's a brand new bottle.
Freshy. Ooh, oh, get that crack.
Good.
Doesn't that, yeah, does that say six shots of Mueller or one shot of Mueller?
I think it says six, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't even have a chaser. That's the worst part.
No. Oh, it says right there, small writing, without chaser.
Oh, yep, it does. Yeah. Okay. I got to read the small print.
Yeah, you got to read the small print.
Tell me when.
Yeah.
Oh, keep going. That's actually, give him a full shot.
That's good.
No.
That's not a shot glass. That's way.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't have to do it. Use the meniscus.
Pizza chaser? Oh, bread.
Use the meniscus.
All right. This is the punishment for Team Tailwind coming in dead last by a long shot from week one of our fantasy frisbee.
Analytics
and reconnaissance tournaments. Cheers. It's just the worst mozzarella stick I've ever had now. Okay, I'm good.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not.
What is that supposed to taste like?
Death.
Imagine if you took like dandelions.
Oh, earwax, yeah.
From your yard.
How do you know what earwax tastes like?
Smashed it all together and put like...
grapefruity
gutter water in there, dude. Yeah. It's bad. It does not taste good. It doesn't taste good. Yes. It's not good.
Yeah. It's a product of a gypsy curse. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Gutter water for sure.
It can only go up from here. I hope. I assume.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is Waco this weekend or next weekend?
Jay, what do you got?
It's on the.
Ooh, do you have dates on there too?
Yeah, of course
it sure does.
God damn.
3/7.
Waco is 3/7.
Oh, right now is the memorial is going on right now.
Right.
So will we do this again by the next record?
There might have to be two spins.
No, we will.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
3/7.
It'll be the same, right? It'll be the same. We'll be recording the Thursday after the event.
After the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll report back after Waco.
Yep.
That's a wrap on our fantasy frisbee segment.
Yep.
And that means it's time for us to get into the mailbag.
Hey, Yuck Face. Does that mean it's...
mail time.
Just go with that. Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Jason, take us into the mailbag.
Let's see where we are going to start. I think we're going to start things off with a buddy of mine, Mr. Sir David Cope. He knew we were having Mike on, and his mailbag was basically, you aren't Ryan Fancher's brother. I'm so sorry. I don't know you personally, and I love Ryan, so I hope this isn't a bad thing, but I swear on everything, I thought you two were brothers, and I think that is so damn funny. So he has a three-part question. First, who is the better disc golfer?
Between
the brothers. Yep.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Mike, I know firsthand, Mike Apostolou can throw a country mile. Mike, distance game, Mike's got Ryan.
Oh, by a long shot.
Putting game, Ryan's got me. My putting is, it's getting better.
Putting, I would say samesies on putting.
Yeah, my putting's terrible.
I think
I'm going to have to say it's a, what's your rating right now?
It dropped. It's 905 right now.
You're right there.
Yeah, it's same.
Are you teens? You're like 19s?
It might be a 903 right now, actually.
I'm going to say on the money the same, because each of them, it's got to be close. It's very close.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll take that.
Question two. He would like to know, of the two of you, who is the better looking?
Ryan.
Answered that.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
I love you, Mike.
Yeah. That makes one of us.
He's got hair, though.
Yeah, I was going to say Mike has the hair.
It's even again.
Mike's got hair.
Yeah. Back even
it's a
again.
Wash, I think, yeah.
All right, and then his third question is, do you think you could take on him and Kenny Slauson in a doppelganger doubles match?
Oh, they don't stand a chance.
Oh, yeah, we got that.
You guys
why
have
are Cope and Slauson doppelgangers?
Have you not seen the photo?
No.
On Facebook?
Oh, there's a photo. It's indistinguishable.
Yeah.
Slauson and Cope.
It's so weird, dude.
It's the beard. They do the bandana thing that Cope does.
They got a hood and, yeah.
Okay.
Sunglasses or maybe.
I see. So as long as you cover up like 90% of both of their faces, then they're doppelgangers.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm down for that match.
Yeah. No chance.
You'll do fine. Kenny is really bad in competitions.
I just got to stay upwind. I just got to stay upwind. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's a smart call.
All right. Next question is going to be a David Garb question. This is for the TDs, assistant TDs, and administrative TDs of the group. Now that the era of, quote, I don't have a cell phone, scorekeeping is over, what are the best excuses you ever heard as to why someone couldn't keep digital score?
I've had someone show me their percentage on the phone, and it was in the single digits. I'm like, you're living on the edge, dude. All right.
If you yeah. don't charge your phone overnight.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I make it through the entire day without having to charge my phone once.
If it's 1 p.m. and you're at 8%, reevaluate your life.
Yeah, 100%.
You heard it here, folks. Nice.
Figure it out, guys.
But some of the worst excuses are, this one dude legitimately said, I don't think I can do that much math.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard that.
Like,
I've heard that. Go home.
What are you doing? Reevaluate your
life. You got fingers and you got toes if needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not even about the phone anymore. It's just, what? How can I just get out of this?
Right. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah. But I did suggest that we come up with a bingo card and have it behind us with whatever excuses we can think of. And when somebody does it, everything stops. Oh, we got one. And we go mark that.
And then they spin the tiny wheel.
Yeah. And then they spin the tiny wheel.
We'll have bingo by the second event.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the new innovations that we're going to do for season 5 in the mailbag is we are actually going to take some call-in questions. So go ahead, caller. You're on the air with Unstable Discourse. I don't know. Yes.
I was like, what did I not know about? Here we go.
To do.
Our next question is.
That's good.
That pause was thick, guys. Yeah, no, like, all right. Yeah. What? Our next question is from Jack Finnelworth. This is a first time I'm saying this name.
Finnelworth.
Yep.
What did I say?
He and I share a birthday.
Finnelworth. I did. I meant to say
Finnelworth.
Finnelworth is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Oklahoma?
Birthday pals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice.
That's what they say about really good women. They're Finnelworth.
They're Finnelworth. Oh, my God. He wants to know if Alex could say something super funny about his last name. And you did it. So
and good. Okay, next.
He wants to know if I've played any more disc golf since Idlewild, and what would it take to convince me to play an MA4 event?
Oh, my God.
So,
it would be so fun, dude.
The first answer is no. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to play since Idlewild.
That's pretty gooby of you.
That is super goobs. Why did he say MA4 specifically? What?
That's the lowest division you can play.
Oh, got it.
The novice division.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. It wouldn't take much to convince me. Like, I've had several people slide up. Oh, you play now? When are we going to be out there? And I'll get there eventually. Probably this spring.
My rating is low enough to play MA4 right now, so I'll do a tournament with you.
I'd so Fraction Run, then?
Oh, sure.
So Fraction Run?
Fraction Run. Do I have to have a PGA number to play?
No.
You don't?
No?
Okay. It will be $10 extra for you, but...
Okay. I can... We'll do a crowdfunding to get me that $10.
Yeah.
Next question is coming from Garrett Vermont. How many pieces of Tour Life merch has Sean purchased since the last step?
Bagel. Pieces of Tour Life merchandise. Nada. Sorry, Garrett. Love you, Lee.
Yeah. What is the
Tour Life is a podcast/video show with Brody Smith and Paul Ulibarri.
I see.
He's doing a little.
Yes. Yeah. Busting balls. Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. All right. Next question. I have thought about this. I haven't done any Googling yet. Maybe I should have, but I thought about this question a lot.
Have you done any goobering about it?
I've done tons of goobering about this. Has anyone upper decked Jason with
Yeah, I don't know yet? What that is.
What
is upper decking someone?
Somebody.
Did anybody
upper decking,
know?
As I understand it, is when you take a shit in the top part of
somebody's
toilet.
In the top part of somebody's
toilet.
When it comes
to the Lord, like, what is... Can somebody look that up?
Go incognito for that.
Yeah.
Upper decking when it comes to drinking alcohol? I've never heard of.
I hope the joke is that it's not a thing and he's just got us all trying to find the answer.
100%. Or we're going to invent what upper decking somebody is.
You are winning, sir.
Yeah. So to answer Tim's question, not yet, but TDB.
Please let us know what you are referring to, sir.
Or if you want to just leave it up to us, we'll figure out what upper decking is.
Tim Allen said that?
At some point, yeah. Yeah, right.
That was really good, dude.
That was actually really
good. That was really good.
That was it.
Thank you.
Our next question in the mailbag is coming from Nick Kaminsky. He says he is so excited for this year.
What did he say first?
Let's go.
No, how did he say it?
He said, let's go.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And he said he is so excited for this year. Question for Mike. F, Mary, kill Alex, Sean, and Ryan.
I'm gonna bend the rules. I'm gonna face him three times.
Yes!
Yes!
Good answer.
Bend the rules and bend him over.
Bend me over.
I like the way you handled that because I was certain I was going to get killed. There was a, and I'm sure you remember this, there was a tournament. We were on a card together years ago. I was talking a lot during the tournament.
Oh, I remember that.
With Ishmael. He and I were just in our own world talking constantly. And at some point, you were like, guys.
It was dealt with text.
You were like, guys, what the
because it was shit. It me I getting
been,
mad.
I've been a terrible card
I remember that. Yeah. Yes. It wasn't me getting mad. It was another Mike Lefty
Wisniewski.
Mike. Yes. He was getting like mad. I was like,
fair. Yeah. Very fair. I was a terrible card mate. But I fully expected you to say, I'm going to kill Alex. That's for sure. And then next on the side, I'm going to marry Ryan or Sean.
That's funny. Also, I have not yet determined what we're going to bleep. What we're going to use to bleep.
You're going to bleep.
Yeah. Yeah. So you will have already known by the time I say this.
Sure.
Yeah. But as of this recording.
Right. Not record.
ING. I have not yet determined. So
is there something from Married with Children? There's got to be a...
I have an idea and it's not Married with Children. I'll get there.
Doesn't he say her name real funny in that? Like, what's her name? Meg?
Peg.
Peg?
Peg.
Our final mailbag question comes from Christopher Roberts. He asks, I notice outside of a couple events in the J-Town area, they are all C-tiers. Is there a reason we aren't pushing more B-tiers or even A-tiers? Are they a ton more work? Do they cost more money to run? Or is it something else entirely? I have zero experience running tournaments, so I'm just curious.
You are the perfect person to answer that, Mike.
Well, no. I mean, I have answers, but they're not from experience. I've helped run. I have not run.
All the above. He answered his own.
It is all the above, yes. Yeah. Having the higher tiers requires a minimum purse for the pros. So that requires, you know, either out-of-pocket money or sponsors or fundraisers or whatever.
Specifically $3,000 added cash at an A-tier locally, which is a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then an A-tier requires a minimum amount of rounds. So that's, what, 54 holes?
Rounds
minimum?
Holes, yeah.
Or 54 holes, sorry. Yep. So that's either all like 27 at Delwood twice or 3 days of tournaments or of rounds. It is just a lot more work.
B tiers and above require a certain amount of value in player packs.
Right.
I think Sean and we all kind of feel is that our C tiers run like B tiers and it moves up the line. Like our C tiers have a huge player pack value. We add cash.
We add $500,
even though we don't have to.
Yep.
Payouts are always great.
For those that are worried about points, I mean, the tournaments are so big enough anyway that the
correct.
The players you're playing against, you're going to get those points for
with 220 players a tournament. Yeah. So, and that we can keep the costs down that way. And then if there are things that we need to pivot on, we can, because we have the ability to with a C tier and we're not required to be shoehorned into anything like B's and A tiers and majors. And
well, and we are running 4 B tiers this year.
Yeah.
One of them is Masters only. That's but, true. Clash, the return of Masters at the Oaks, J-Town Championships, and Shani Classic are all B tiers.
Yeah.
And that's almost half of the events.
So. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So there you go.
Well, that's going to put an end on the mailbag. So I'm just going to give me a second here. I'm going to. And I'm going to close that up. And then we will open it on the next episode when we have a brand new mailbag session.
That's true.
Yep.
You said a right thing. All right. That is a wrap on this episode then. Mike, thanks for joining us. MF, thanks for being here. Everybody that came together to make the league happen, that this can't believe we didn't do it sooner. So cool. So fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do want to say to the listeners, though, like, even though we're not really looking for feedback on this, if you want to choose what teams you want to support through this, I'm just saying get on your boys' team now because we're going to ride the lightning all through the rest of this season.
That fluke. Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tailwind is due for a comeback, baby.
Hard not.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening. We always appreciate that. We appreciate all your comments and participation in our socials and the reviews. I discovered we have some reviews that we've never seen before through Spotify. It's they're very hard to access, but they exist and they're all really great. Thank you guys for leaving reviews.
Sweet.
Yeah, we love doing this. We love you guys being a part of it. And this was awesome to be back. I can't wait for the rest of the season. We got some trips planned for
this
season.
Feels like we never stopped. almost. Yeah. Yes.
I liked the timing and pacing of last season to this season.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are going to be doing more on the road content this season too. So strap in, guys. It's going to be a good one. And until next episode, keep it on the fairway.
See ya.
Y'all be good now.
Strap in and strap on.
Good night.
Peace.
Unstable Discourse is produced by Sheila Callahan. Edited by Ryan Fancher. Beats provided by Alex Seminary. And produced in association with Unstable Disc Golf Gear. Look good, feel good, play good.
Unstable Discourse is a Top Secret Studios production. You already know.
Have you done any goobering about it?